turn your attention to a new subject for our Biblical Answers to Everyday Problems. And I've been guided by these little booklets. So a new little booklet for today from the CCEF. It is titled, Freedom from Guilt, Finding Release from Your Burdens. So the children might see that there's a... can you tell me what the picture is there on the front cover? Renee, what is that?
Looks like someone putting the key in.
Right, right. So what does that make you think of that might have... What does guilt have to do with a key and a lock? That's true. You might be hiding your sins. I thought of something different. That's right. Yeah, you can sometimes be held captive by the guilt that you feel because of your sins, and the hiding of them often plays a part in that, Mary. So so the picture of someone putting a key in a lock and opening a door has a sense of being released from that captivity or released from those burdens, as they say here. So I often do, I like to read the introductions, a couple of paragraphs to let you know from the author's perspective why this is an important topic. Do you ever feel guilty? Guilt feels terrible. What you did keeps playing and replaying in your mind, and you're filled with regrets and if-onlys. If a lot of people know what you did, your shame and regret increase exponentially. The wider the circle of people who know what happened, the more you suffer. No one likes to feel guilty. But what exactly is guilt? The dictionary says that guilt is, quote, an awareness of having done wrong or committed a crime, accompanied by feelings of shame and regret. Since all of us have either done wrong things or failed to do right things, we have all experienced guilt. You can devise all kinds of ways to try to get rid of your guilty feelings, but your guilt is not just a feeling or a personal problem. It really has to do with your relationship with God. How you deal with your guilt depends on how you view God and what place He has in your life. How do you handle your guilt? That's where we're going to start today. And briefly go through several different strategies that seem to be popular humanistic approaches to dealing with your guilty feelings, and then point in the direction of the biblical or godly way to deal with your guilt. The author, Timothy Lane, suggests four different ways, kind of broad categories as to how people often deal with their guilt. So I'm going to read the title that he gives and invite you to describe how that what that looks like. So, wrong ways to deal with your guilt. Number one, deny that you're really guilty. So what does that look like when either in your life or maybe you've observed that in someone else?
I don't know, but you're not talking to me.
Sure, shift the blame to all the way away from you to someone else.
I was sure glad I'm not like that tax collector over there.
Yeah, yeah. He actually elaborates that. Yeah. Rachel? He did it. Yeah, that happens a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. Completely blame someone else.
In the blaming, it can look like, well, because they did this to me, it makes me vulnerable in this way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not to blame because I was the victim. I was hurt, and so my reaction is not blameworthy because of my surrounding. Maybe you've heard this one too. I'll add just one more to that, that your sense of morals are so old-fashioned. That's outdated. You're using your grandparents' morality to try to restrict my freedoms today. That one's actually pretty popular right now, especially in the area of sexual morality, that the idea of premarital sexuality, homosexuality, those are outdated morals. You need to get with the times, type of idea. Just a word of critique real quickly on this, and the sad thing is that there may be some effect in doing this. If you blame someone else, you may not get caught immediately, and it may relieve some of your guilty feeling for a little bit, but it won't relieve it for long. Been a little bit of a Shakespeare kick this week, so what did Lady Macbeth not? What was her trouble? She was responsible. Did she actually do it? I can't remember. Yeah, she's guilty.
Feeling intense guilt.
Yeah, and she has blood on her hands, and yeah, and she justified it up one side and down the other to begin with. That this would be good for her husband, good for her country. Da 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 da. But could not shift the blame away, though I think it was somebody else that did it. She still, that guilt still came home to roost. Lane does something, or observes something here that I found as well, that in talking with people who try to shift the morality as being out of date, what they have done is instead set up another set of morality. But what Lane observes is that even if you adopt your own rules, the sad fact is you can't even live up to those. And you will eventually break your own rules and either rewrite your rules, or they'll, which is a guilty reaction too, but you'll feel guilty even if you have your own rules. That shifting the blame or denying your guilt doesn't help. Okay, second, just try to be a better person. Or as he calls it, the New Year's resolution approach to guilt. What does that look like?
It's short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
So keep yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes you feel good initially, or at least just delays the the impact.
That or exhausted. You've tried before and failed, and then you have to be like, well, got to start over again.
Yeah. It's that resolution to stop bad behavior and to start new behavior, to try harder. And as most people, it's almost become a byword that New Year's resolutions are made to be broken, right? They just don't last, do they? But if you're on a program of self-improvement by your own strength or by your own willpower, you'll carry it on for a little while, but sure enough, it will typically fall apart over time. And then guess what? There's new guilt because you didn't keep your New Year's resolutions. Number three, Compare yourself to others. We've already described this a little bit. I may get angry with my coworkers, but at least I didn't kill anybody. Or it may be very specific. I didn't do what I see some John going over here in the corner. Not as bad as my brother. He did it worse than I did. No, he didn't. No, you did it. You can always find somebody who did it worse, can't you? You can always find somebody who was worse than you. In fact, most of you have had an opportunity to go door to door, and maybe you've heard responses like this. And the classic one is when asked, why should you go to heaven? And they say, well, I'm not that bad. And I remember being with Dave once and him asking, so as a percentage, how would you rate yourself from 100% being perfectly good down to 0%? And I still remember somebody saying, well, I know I'm not 100%, but I'm no Hitler. Hitler's always the bad guy. You can always compare yourself to Hitler. Kind of the easy out, the punching bag. And, but that's not God's standard, is it? And it doesn't get rid of your guilt. Your guilt's still there.
I think it can go the other way, too. Looking at people who are so perfect and being like, well, I can't get to that point, so why do I even try?
That's a good point, yeah. And that prison of guilt comes crashing down from a different direction, yeah. Number four, and I'll close with this and turn to the good way next week. You can become obsessed with your guilt. You can deal with your guilt by beating yourself up over and over and over again. It sounds kind of funny, doesn't it, Joseph?
Yeah.
But you can do that emotionally and spiritually. You can recognize the wrong that you've done, which is a good first step, but then you don't take the next step of taking it to God, which is the only way of dealing with guilt. And you wallow in that guiltiness. And you leave yourself in the position of, woe is me, and I'm a terrible person. It sounds kind of funny to say it that way, but we have other technical words for it. They're called depression. And people isolate themselves because of their guilty feelings, their guiltiness, and without the relief and the release of taking that to God. What does David say in Psalm 32? Finish this. When I kept silent, my bones aged. When I hid my guilt, my bones dried away. And there's that's what's happening there. You can be crushed by your guilt. David goes on and said, but then I repented. I did not hide my guiltiness. I confessed my sin to you. And Psalm 32 has that wonderful shift in it where our sorrow is turned to gladness because our sins are forgiven. Oh, I can't leave you with the bad ways of dealing with guilt. I'll leave you with that. I'll expand on that next week, but the good way or the righteous way of dealing with guilt is to confess it to the Lord, to acknowledge what it is and to seek forgiveness from Him and from those you've offended. And I'll develop that more next week, but you can think and pray on that. Well, let's bow together in prayer as we close. Lord, thank you for this meditation from your word about our guiltiness. And Lord, we can recognize ourselves in these humanly devised methods of trying to answer our guiltiness. And we can also acknowledge and we can find in ourselves how poorly those work. And I pray, Lord, that we would recognize the invitation that you make to be released from guilt by the forgiveness of our sins in Christ. In his name we pray, amen.